Everyone, it is 4:36 p.m., the 23rd of August, 2020, and we are back in Contact Report 249, and I'm going to talk about this person who claims to be from Venus, Omnic 1C, and I want to talk also, and I'll just do that briefly. There's a lot of interesting topics like magnetic sense disturbing, animal migration, gene medicine, abductions, ETs on Earth, and a very interesting story about a contactee named Elizabeth Clarer, I think you would pronounce her name. And I may do this in a kind of different kind of order, and then hopefully we'll get to some might have thoughts stuff. And this is line 117, contact report 249, and Patah is speaking. And he says, this person is very well known to us. Oh, let me step back. I'm going to step back a little farther. And Billy's speaking here. And it says, of course, it can't be any different. What do you think about it? Or what is behind it? In America, where else could it be? There is a young woman who is spiritually wandering around claiming to be a Venusian, a woman from the planet Venus where humans live under domes. Patah says in line 117, this person is very well known to us under the name Omnic 1C or Omnic, as she calls herself. Her assertions are, of course, absolute nonsense and correspond to mischievous machinations and even a schizophrenic origin. That's exactly what the lady Omnic calls herself, a mad woman who mumbles and smacks out her bona fide stupid followers. Now, I'm going to come back to these. There's some very other interesting topics here, but I want to jump forward a little bit, and it may take me just a few seconds to find what I'm looking for, or it may take me a little bit longer than a few seconds to find what I'm looking for. There's a lot of information in this contact report 249, and it's all probably worth paying special attention to. But I'm kind of jumping around a little bit today for who knows whatever reason. I'm not sure if it's legitimate or not, but it just felt like the right thing to do. I'm going to talk a little bit about people who claim to have hybrid contacts and some people who claim to have had sexual relations with extraterrestrials, which I guess occurred in the ancient past, according to the Omphalon Narada, one of Billy's writings. But let me start here, and this is Patah on line 154. Everything corresponds to unbelievable nonsense. 155. First, then, Patah says, there have been very few incidents of examination contacts for years, and second, there have been no impregnations of Earth women by extraterrestrial intelligence. Now, I don't know what he means by that, because there's this whole thing in the OM about that. But it was in the ancient past. So, just put a question mark there, and we'll put that in our mental hold basket and come back later and try to get that cleared up. The so-called hybrids reported by unreasonable newspaper and journal makers are nothing more than abortions and mutations of a purely terrestrial nature, which are due to genetic damage, etc., caused by the parents or by environmental influences of a highly harmful nature, which can be very diverse. There is no doubt that at any present, there are no descendants on Earth or anywhere else on Earth who have been conceived by extraterrestrials with Earth women or by meerkats with extraterrestrial women. other claims to be infamous lies and slander, no matter where they come from Elizabeth Clarier or from some other lunatics who currently claim this. Even such assertions made under hypnosis usually correspond to lies and slander, which are either invented by the hypnotized themselves, or are tricked in by third parties, or even by the person who carries out the hypnosis. Now, I want to tell you a little about Elizabeth Clarier. And this comes straight from Wikipedia. So I thought this would be interesting enough to discuss. She lived from July 1, 1910, to sometime in February in 1994. She was a South American woman who claimed to have been contacted by aliens multiple times between 1954 and 1963. Clarier's first visitation would have occurred around 7 years old, and she was one of the first women to claim a sexual relationship with an extraterrestrial. She promoted an idea of a better world and beliefs in cosmic consciousness. In her book, Beyond the Light Barrier, she strived to convey a message of peace, love, understanding, and environmentalism, which she credited to the superior wisdom of an advanced and immaculately utopian Venusian civilization. She promoted conspiracy theories of an international cover-up, which would essentially keep vital information from the public. Well, I totally concur with that. There are many cover-ups that are attempting to keep vital information from the public. One would be the cover-up of the Meyer material, and claimed to be threatened with abduction to press her into revealing details about alien technology. So she said the government wanted her to tell them about alien technology. Elizabeth was born in 1910 at the Muai River in Natale as the youngest daughter of S.B. and Florence Woollatt. S.B., which is her father, was a pioneering veterinary surgeon who subsequently settled at Cunnington Farm near Rosetta in the Natal Midlands. I don't know where that is, but I could probably look it up, but I won't take the time right now. I think she's a South African. This is somewhere in South Africa. Here he became a successful shorthorn farmer and a dedicated polo player and introduced many people to the sport. Here at age 7, Elizabeth and her older sister Barbara also had their first UFO encounter. Now, Billy's saying this is a lie, and it may very well be a lie, but her sister is also corroborating Elizabeth's story, I guess. While feeding their Sealyham puppies, Sealyham is an unusual species, a very small dog. While feeding their puppies outside the farmhouse, Elizabeth and her sister claimed that they witnessed a silver disc bathed in a pure pearly luster, which swooped over them. Simultaneously, a giant orange-red and cratered planetoid was observed orbiting and rotating high in the atmosphere. Boy, that is bizarre and interesting. The disc would have rushed to meet it, pacing and guiding it northwards, while the planetoid left a smoke trail in its wake. Very bizarre. Doesn't sound like something a little girl would make up. But who knows? Maybe this is a total lie. Only months later, she would have had another sighting in the company of Laydam, their Zulu farm manager. So now we got this second guy who's corroborating her story. Laydam interpreted the sightings in terms of Zulu mythology. Elizabeth sometimes alluded to an even earlier sighting at age 3. This occurred around 1913, 1914. So she, I'm going to kind of go over some things quickly here. She went to college, she studied art and music, and then she studied meteorology, got a 4-year diploma at a Girton college. And I guess she was married and she was taught by her husband how to fly a small airplane called a tiger moth. She played polo and okay, her and her husband were flying an airplane, a leopard moth aircraft, as they're called. And her husband saw a saucer which approached, coasted along, and then departed from them. And eventually, this lady had a, during World War II, she had a position in RAF intelligence. So again, this is like the third person that's corroborated one of her contacts or UFO sightings. So I would be very nice if the Meyer teaching would, like in this contact report, instead of just calling her a liar and moving on, they would explain how, each person that corroborated her story was actually, making things up or whatever. I mean, I don't know. It's just quite an interesting story. And again, the Meyer information says that it isn't real and it may very well not be real. It is very interesting, though. In 1954, the sister May, her sister May, then resident on the farm in the Natal Midlands, relayed to her that the native Zulu people were reporting appearances of the lightning bird in the sky. And they got a link here to a photograph of a lightning bird. It's a very unusual bird, but it's a real bird. So I'm not sure what this is exactly saying. In response, Elizabeth and her children traveled from Johannesburg to the farm, and she ascended Flying Saucer Hill the following day. There, she claimed to have seen the starship descend and hover 3 meters above the ground while only emitting a soft hum. That's said by a lot of people that have seen these things, that they hear a humming noise. And I think that's consistent with the Meyer teaching as well. Its hull was spinning, though its central dome was remaining stationary. The spaceman, who would later identify himself as Akon, was clearly visible through one of the 3 portholes. A barrier of heat emanating from the ship would have prevented her from approaching. However, his scout ship departed again. Some 18 months later, she would visit the hilltop again after further reports of the lightning bird. On the occasion of April 7th, 1956, Akon would have taken her aboard his scout ship, a craft some 60 feet in diameter. Once inside, she would have met a second pilot, stocky and darker skinned than Akon, who was supposedly a foremost botanist, besides astrophysicist by profession. She was allegedly shown a lens which offered views of Earth and people through the craft's door, which only a hum emanating from below and no sense of movement. They would have been transported to the enormous cigar-shaped mothership, which had a garden-like interior. After meeting its inhabitants, she would have been returned to the hilltop. A similar arrangement as that made between Adamski and Orthon in 1952. During the encounter, kisses were exchanged, and Akon revealed that Elizabeth was in fact a reincarnated Venusian, a long-lost soulmate. He further explained that they would infrequently take Earth women as partners, as the offspring would strengthen their race with an infusion of new blood. He also claimed that a number of Venusians were surreptitiously living among Earth people, evidently. According to Akon, humans and their own species, strictly speaking humans, come from the remote, inhabitable past of the planet Venus. That's very interesting because a lot of scientists now are saying that the planet Venus in the remote past was habitable and that it had oceans and all kinds of an ecosystem. The original civilization would have migrated in the face of a changing planetary conditions, including very unpleasant sulfuric acid showers and the impossible temperature. You know, it's like 400 degrees on Venus, and they have sulfuric acid showers. So it's interesting that this lady knew that. I don't know if they knew that back in the 50s or not. April 1956, various independent observers note a steady red glow poised at a rocky section of the hill, which remained there until 2 in the morning. No sign of a fire could be found afterwards. On July 7th, 1956, after their family farm was sold, she was made a subsequent visit to the area and claimed to have taken a series of 7 photos of Akon's scout ship using her sister's or daughter's simple brownie box camera. Vivid light flashes would have turned into a dull gray craft enveloped in a shimmering heat haze. For all of an hour, the disc would have darted silently over a rise near the farmhouse, making several weaving detours, and it would have shown silvery and bright sunlight before the streaking out of sight. Edgar Severs, a ufologist from Pretoria, stated that her family saw her leave the homestead alone and suggested that the frail Elizabeth would have found it difficult to throw a car hubcap and photograph that at the same time. He also stated that no make of hubcap had been illustrated to sufficiently resemble the disc in the photos. It would be interesting if the Meyer writings would comment on the photos. Space motherhood is the next section. In April 1958, a series of contacts would have started, which would set her story apart from the 1950 standard. These visits by Akon would have culminated in a day-long rendezvous with Elizabeth on the high plateau of Cathkin Peak, where he supposedly presented her with a silver ring which enhanced their telepathic connection. Their love was then consummated, and a child was conceived at her advanced age of 40 years. And here's what she wrote. I surrendered in ecstasy to the magic of his lovemaking, our bodies merging in magnetic motion as the divine essence of our spirits became one. After a terrestrial pregnancy, she with her MG car would have been transported in 1959 to Akon's home planet world, Metan, supposedly orbiting Proxima Centauri in the nearby multiples star system Alpha Centauri. Alpha Centauri is the closest star system to the Earth. It's about 4 light years. There she would have delivered the male child. Her son, A-Ling, stayed behind on Metan to be educated, while Elizabeth reluctantly came home. Metan's planetary vibrations affected her heart, and she was consequently not permitted to return there. Instead, received follow-up visits from Akon and Ailing. The whole trip delivery and return trip supposedly required less than 4 months, sufficiently long to enable a 9-year stay on Metten, however. I don't know if they're saying that she claimed to stay on this other planet for 9 years or what. Anyway, she describes the planet. She says there were no cities or skyscrapers, as Earth people know them, anywhere on Metten. Homes were scattered in park-like grounds. There was an abundance of all things needed by civilization: food, water, and all the materials for building, an unlimited supply of energy on tap from the atmosphere and the universe. No shortages of any kind, no monetary system at all. And eventually, she wrote a book called Beyond the Light Barrier. So anyway, I think that's a good place to stop. I probably read even a little bit too much. That's a very, very interesting story. It makes you certainly wonder. And that story was about Elizabeth Clarier. Clarer. You can look that up. But Billy does say it's slander and lies, so maybe you don't want to look it up. And I'll start out with line 161 here in Contact Report 249. And exactly this fact is exploited by many in the matter of UFOs and alleged kidnappings, etc., because the persons concerned want to make themselves great and distinguish themselves with it. And so there could be some ego here with some of these people. Often only a hypnotic state is faked, which is not difficult for humans and cannot be determined and recognized by inexperienced hypnotists on Earth. So some of these people are not really hypnotized, they're faking it. In the state of pretense, people lie and cheat just as they do in real hypnosis. So the Meyer Information has said that hypnosis doesn't guarantee accuracy or truth or anything like that. But a lot of people that swear by hypnosis will argue very much against that. I think it probably does depend. I think that there are some people that are not hypnotized that easily, and they know when someone's trying to hypnotize them, and they're not as vulnerable to it. And I think we're more vulnerable at certain times, maybe if we're tired and things like that. All around lies and deceptions that the beams crack, but it is also constantly claimed that evil extraterrestrials also massacre animals and cattle. Also, in this assertion is based on slanderous assumptions of some lunatics, as well as quite conscious lies and deceptions. If massacred animals are found, especially in the USA and South Africa, this can be traced back to completely natural causes, namely beating and tearing, as well as the feeding of birds of prey and predators. Various species of vermin also play an important role, including mutant species. Even certain irresponsible people massacre animals for testing purposes, and that's why I think the government probably comes in, or to stir up fear of aliens, which I think that's probably where the government comes in. Well, we got off a little bit on a tangent there. I hope you enjoyed the show. This is Ohio Exopolitics. I'm your host, Mark Snyder.